This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another special guest series here on the Authentic Persuasion Show. As you know, in this season, season 7, it is all about professional sales education, sales educators, program directors. My mission in general is to help fill the world with over a million authentic persuaders. And the tagline for the show, as you know, is to be a guide for helping sales professionals and teams close more sales and make more money. So here we are at the intersection of that and from a professional sales perspective, sales education perspective. So I'm super excited because today I've got my new friend, Barry Erickson from the University of Washington. Barry has over 32 years of experience in sales management, executive leadership for Fortune 500 companies. And he's taken that and is now applying that to the UW's business school. He joined as the director of the professional sales program and now focuses 100% on teaching and developing the next generation of sales professionals. Barry, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Wow. Thanks, Jason. Happy to be here. I'm humbled. I hope I can live up to that introduction. Appreciate having me on.
You will, because I have spent just enough time with you to know that you will. And for the audience, just so they know a little background, why I say my new friend, because, you know, when you're having a podcast like this, you reach out to people and then you have a meet and greet and we chat. We had one several weeks ago. It was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago before this recording date here in late March. I think it was like a Thursday, we hopped on to talk about the podcast and just to get to know each other. And then by the end of it, you're like, hey, by the way, my semester is coming up to an end soon. And, you know, I have some openings. Would you like to do a guest lecture for the class the next week on Monday? As it worked out. And I did, and it was amazing. And I got to see your class, you know, over Zoom from my corner of the country and then see you in action with them. And it was great. I absolutely loved it. And it's so fun how sometimes things just come together real quick.
Yeah, it was great. Great fate. I'm a great believer in that, where a timing meets preparation and a little bit of luck in timing. And you were really able to culminate the quarter for my students, who had been obviously academically drilled up to this point, but you were able to bring it all back to the one most important thing, which is that relationship build. And that sent them off with the right tone. So thank you for joining.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Absolutely fun when I found out about this whole world of professional sales education programs at colleges and universities, which has now led to this point in the podcast and the focus. Turning it to you, because this is all about you, and I just love how our relationship kind of started, and it's just off to the races. So, like I said in the beginning, you come at this with over 30 years of sales leadership, executive leadership, Fortune 500 companies. This segment of the podcast, our first episode together, is about authenticity. Tell me what you hear of when you think of when you hear authenticity, and then let's say, you know, when you started in sales versus now, where you think sales has changed in what salespeople do, what people expect, you know, yeah, from that point.
Very good. First day in class, Jason, the first half hour every quarter, regardless of what class I teach, because I might have some returning students that have heard my pitch before, but I always have some brand new students. And I start with that authenticity piece. I start with, we are not selling used cars down on, in Seattle, it's called Aurora. Aurora Avenue is where all the used cars are, all the used car salespeople. And while those salespeople are good at what they do, we are not consumer sellers. And so their tactics are a little different than our tactics in professional B2B selling. So I spend a good half hour breaking away from the stereotypes of what people think sales are. We are also not that door-to-door service company, and I won't degrade anyone, but we are not knocking on doors trying to get people to sign up for a year-long service of any sort. We are not even the shoe salespeople at your retailer that are selling to consumers. While again, great professions and great skills in selling, I spend much of my time early on in the authenticity piece is you don't close the deal on the first visit. You're simply trying to build a relationship and you're trying to understand the needs of the customer so that we don't get stereotyped as that, what I call feature dumping sales, slick salesperson that can talk a mile a minute and tell you what's great about their product. It's really about build a relationship, set your sights on 3 to 4 to 5 visits and meetings before you're actually going to close the deal, because that way you will understand the customer's needs. And that's what authenticity is for me, is it's about the customer. It's not about your product. Two very distinct things.
I love that. And it's interesting to think, again, if anybody's tuning into this as the first episode of this season, talking to someone like you on the education side, is what you and I are used to, or what people who might be in sales already are used to thinking about sales and how wide open that is, versus, let's say, a student maybe in their, you know, late teens, early 20s, going into a class like yours and thinking sales is the used cars. It's the shoe salesperson at Nordstrom. It's, you know, it's the door-to-door. It's the solar sales. It's the cell phone, versus what is out there in the professional, let's say professional sales, the, you know, the more enterprise B2B sales level, and how different that is. And, you know, what you're talking about with the relationship building, which they're probably used to more transactional, how does that, what you're teaching them and your, let's say, day one session lecture about what the world of selling includes, how does that compare to when you started in sales a while ago and what you were taught sales was, or what you did as a salesperson? Same thing or different?
They're very different. And I started selling in the 80s, far earlier than you would recall, Jason. I date you, sir. The internet wasn't there. Cell phones weren't there. I was smiling and dialing from a rotary phone, believe it or not. I might have gotten to the touch button phone soon, but it was more of a feature presentation role than it certainly is today, because I couldn't send my customers to the website. Couldn't send my customers any advanced material unless I mailed it and snail mailed it on hard copy paper. So to your point, I was more of a feature presenter than I was a needs identifier. So my job was, in the half hour I had with that customer, tell them about what we did, who our customers were, why we were better than the competition, what our schedule looked like, what our pricing looked like, and then, would you like to buy? I mean, that's what you had time to do in a half an hour, because there was information was scarce. So things have changed. So now it's, in that first half hour, learn everything you can about the customer and then get back with them. Back when I started to, I think I learned the hard way as well, that we didn't necessarily close the deal on the first visit. I didn't realize that at the time. And frankly, my boss didn't realize it at the time. He expected us to close the deal on meeting one, because it was very expensive for us to fly to see the customer. We didn't have the video resources that we do today. We were flying to see the customers, getting the rental car, checking into the hotel. It was an expensive visit. The boss expected you to close the deal. And so that was the second thing, Jason, that I found very different, is back then it was a feature dump, then a deal close, and then you moved on. Versus today, it's a listen, 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 then get back with them. And it may take you 4 or 5 visits.
And going back to the students that you have now, when you share that with them, especially your stories of how it used to be and also what they're thinking sales is, how do they take that? How are they receptive to that? Do they understand it? Are they eager and excited about that, you know, your current version of sales versus the, let's say, the pre-internet sales?
You know what I've learned, Jason, I've been doing this now for 6 years, sold for 32 years, teaching for six. And what I've learned, one of the key things I've learned from an effectivist standpoint is humility and self-deprecation. That being, I can teach them really well when I'm humble and when I tell them where I would make the mistakes. I think, Jason, if I actually added up the numbers, the analogies that I give them, there's an equal number of where I failed and what not to do versus where I succeeded and what to do. And you know what? Because the students appreciate that self-deprecation. Frankly, and I'm not going to speak about my colleagues, but some professors who are very arrogant don't reach the students because they don't appear like human beings. Where I think my strategy is to show them my human side and show them it's okay to fail. But you have the advantage of learning through my failures so you don't fail as many times. And I tend to find that they remember those lessons better when I do tell the stories of my efforts in the field, particularly when I was new, when I was young. I often say, well, when I was 23 and I got my first sales job, this is what I did and this is what I learned. I see their pens on their notepads, or actually their fingers on the laptops, scurrying away at that point. They really identify when I show my vulnerability and how not to do things, if you will.
Yeah, and I think in general, what's missing in a lot of aspects is the humility piece, not just in, let's say, in teaching, in being a professor and helping other people, but in sales, I think in life in general, is the humility of, you know, don't know everything and don't need to act like you know everything. And I think that truly affects us in a lot of different areas. And it's fascinating because, again, my time with you has been limited in how long I've known you in our total interaction time. But my guess is, because of my experience of you and also knowing that people are generally themselves no matter what, that was probably also a part of your sales style. Am I correct?
Yeah, very much so. That's a good analogy in that I wanted to be that person. While you can tell I'm comfortable talking, sometimes I talk too much. I'm much better at just being that person that they trust to get back to them when they call me. I wanted to be that person from a humility standpoint that say, you can call me on the weekends. You can call me late on a Friday. I'm at your service and my time isn't so sacred that I'm not willing to pick up the phone. So I think I took my humility of just basically saying, I'm your guy, I'm your ally, I'm your voice inside our company. And often we salespeople maybe come across, you know, a little too arrogant sometimes, where I really think that we can earn trust with that customer for being their voice inside the company. And as I have told my students, and I'll finish this thought, as I've told my students, selling outside the company is a given. But what we don't realize is we sell inside the company just as much to be the ally and to be the power and to be the voice of the customer. Because as I told you, Jason, when we ask the customer what they want, we usually don't have the perfect color, the perfect number of ounces, the perfect configuration, the perfect packaging, the perfect shipping. But so we have to sell our operations management team on what the customer wants to get them to adapt to deliver. And that's where I think I earn the trust.
Interesting. And that's, you know, a whole nother topic, which would be, you know, everything in life is sales and you're always, there's always some selling and persuasion going on internally, externally. A lot of people think, oh, well, I don't need to learn anything about sales because I'm not a salesperson. But even if you work in a non-sales role, like selling your manager on your idea, selling your manager on keeping you as an employee, you know, selling your coworkers on your ideas and getting people on board, and or across departments, like you're saying, you know, it's one of those things where salespeople are usually so good and they're selling all the other departments on what they want. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's, you know, not necessarily the best thing for the company, but they're advocating on behalf of the customer. And so when we talk about that piece, and I love the fact that you're, you know, humble, and, you know, just being you and being accessible, not being too good or too important for, you know, whatever the customer may need, or let's say the company. Where do you think keeps people from being authentic, whatever that means for them in a sales role?
They're nervous and they feel pressure to close that deal early, and they haven't come to an agreement with their bosses, perhaps about, you know, what the sales cycle is. Some of them get put on their commissions too early, and they are chasing that commission dollar, and they forget that if they push it too hard and too abrasively and come across as that used car salesman on Aurora, the customer is going to chase the customer away. So it's interesting. The folks that I have, or the graduates that I have, that really start making good money, it's usually in the second and third year. Those that make money the first year don't sustain it as long as those that have learned to develop those relationships first and making money, not today, but tomorrow. So my answer to your question is, I think we let the commissions actually distract us from truly closing the deal because we're pushing too hard to get that commission. And we're thinking about that commission all the time instead of allowing the order to come in. And at least in my experience, my best commissions were when I had landed that customer 2 to 3 to 4 years ago and they kept coming back. And even though most businesses, as you know, pay higher commissions for that first sale, I was making great money in that second to third to fourth sale, even if the commission rate was a little bit lower, if that makes sense.
It's a fascinating perspective that I wouldn't necessarily think about, where authenticity of why people aren't more of themselves or bringing more of themselves. Like you said, the humility and the self deprecation and the humor and the stories and the stuff, you know, that you do, why people wouldn't do that. And it's the commission, and it's always a tough balance. It's so hard with sales generally being about making as much money as you want and are able, right? Because it's open-ended, right? It's not a salary and you work and then that's it. It's like, here's this potential. And so it's about that. And then people get into it and they just see the dollar signs and they're thinking short-term and not long-term, versus what you're saying, which is the relationships, the long-term, the year after year, whether it's renewals or you know, additional stuff with the same clients, or a sale that takes several years to build a relationship to get to that point. It's also interesting to hear you talk about where, you know, people who go into sales and they do really well their first year, more than their cohort, let's say, how they don't sustain it, because they're probably just going for the quick sales and trying to get as much as they can or say whatever it takes, and then it all kinds of falls apart.
So the folks that I know, they're actually, I'll just say, some of my personal suppliers, if you will, my mortgage lender, my wealth management supplier, if you will, those folks tell me too, early on, I was just trying to build relationships and trying to build trust. And I really started to make good money 5-6 years in when it was all referrals. I cold called for the first 2 years without the goal of trying to close the deal. I was cold calling just to let people know I was in the business. And if they ever needed my help, I'd return their phone call. And my mortgage guy and my wealth management gal returned my phone calls like that. And that is why I refer them to all my friends. And so back to your point, the most successful and the most wealthy people that I know in this field have learned that it's all about referrals, because you treat everybody the same way. And they're, it's funny, Jason, they're the happiest, really kind of mellow. I don't want to say mellow. I don't want to stereotype them, but they can have that mellow personality and people trust that. So I often tell my students, you don't have to be like Barry Erickson with this extroverted type A personality in sales. You just need to be trustworthy and you just need to return those phone calls. And I bring my mortgage lender and my wealth manager into class, and they give that lesson about referrals, and it makes sense to the students.
I love it. And that's obviously, anyone who knows me and any of my content, you know, focuses on that, that there's not one way to be a salesperson, right? It's not about the extrovert, charismatic, over the top person, or that intensity or whatever that might be. It's about you being you, but also being effective, right? That's the part that matters. But I love that. I think that, you know, that long-term approach, but here's the challenge, right? And this is the question I have for you, because we know that part of the success of a program like yours is helping students get confidence in sales before they even step foot in an organization that's selling, right? Because the hardest part of sales is getting enough confidence where you can trust yourself and the process and the product, so you can actually do it and be authentic, instead of the fake it till you make it mode, which is where you usually have to start. The challenge, though, is if you're wanting people to play the long game, build relationships, potentially referrals, or just not try to strangle every single conversation, how does somebody get the confidence to be authentic until it becomes time to, you know, get the deals flowing?
Three things I might say. First of all, we try to teach them that it's not personal. So many people, you know, flush out of sales because they just take that no personally. I just, you know, my ego can't take it, or my fragility, is that the right word? Yeah, fragility can't take it. So we teach them it's not personal. It has nothing to do with you. No one's ever going to hold you accountable for your product. So don't take it personally, number one. Number two, it is a numbers game. It is a numbers game, which meaning most people are going to say no. Just know that the best salespeople in the world, they're going to hear no more than they're going to hear yes. So don't give up after the fourth no in a row, or even the 10th no in a row, because all of us in sales, and there's millions of us around the world, still succeed by only hitting 10% or 5% or 2%. So they do understand that piece as well, definitely. And the third one, Jason, is again, that first call, you're really just trying to make sure that they know who you are and what you do. And you're not going to close that deal on the first call. You're probably not going to close it on the second call. But I've told many a story about the customer that called me because their number one supplier fell short or couldn't take their business. And I was just somebody who was there that they knew would pick up the phone when they called. So make that call without the pressure of feeling that you have to close the deal. Just make yourself known to the customer. So those three things maybe help them. Now, you and I also, hey, I'm not going to certainly lie, some of them don't make it. Some of them don't get there, because they tend to take it personally, A, and B, they just can't take no every day. They just finally can't get to the point, like my mortgage lender and my wealth manager, where it's all referrals. They don't get to that point.
Yeah, it takes a long time, and you have to be able to persist, and you've got to get through potentially a lot of hungry winters until the farm is really up to speed, and then you've got enough crops.
Right. I do tell a story of a friend of mine. I won't name him, but a friend of mine got into the commercial real estate building business in 2008. Can you imagine? And he, I asked him, I said, back when, why did you do that? He said, because I knew and thought so many brokers would be falling out of the business that if I could hang in there until the market came back 2.5 years later, 3 years later, I'd be the guy. And sure enough, he got his first deal, Jason, 2.5 years after he started.
Wow.
Because he was willing to put in that time. And he let everybody know who he was, that he was there. He was working for a reputable firm. But talk about a guy who had great long-term view and great patience. And he said, I got up every day and I made that phone call, even though I knew I wasn't going to get business. And he's a great example of making it in the long term. And by the way, he's filthy rich now. Right?
I love it. Regarding authenticity, what do you think from the buyer's perspective they're looking for, in addition to what you've covered already from, you know, relationship side and long-term, right? Not necessarily being sold on the first call, but yeah. What do you think buyers are looking for from a salesperson? Yeah.
This sounds so trite and so fundamental and almost to the edge of corny, but it is so true, which is they want to hear the truth and they want to hear it early. It's that old, tell your mom and your dad that you made a mistake early and don't let them find out about it later. And I think from an authenticity standpoint, we all have so much trouble telling the truth and laying out there early. That's what I think customers are looking for. They're looking for a partner who will be truthful with them. Sounds like an elementary thing to say, but I guess that's just where my belief comes in. And I see it in my students, Jason. I tell you, those students, they don't want to tell me that they need an extension on their assignment until the night before or the morning that it's due. And I beg of them, guys, I'm so easy to get along with. If you tell me early that you're falling behind, I'll give you a break. But if you're telling me the morning that the assignment is due, or the proposal is due, you're not getting that break from me. So I see that every day, Jason, and I believe it more and more and more and more. And I feel my job is to convince the students that we in life just want to know the truth and we want to know it early.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to sales, that's extra valuable because the world in general doesn't necessarily trust salespeople or knows that that salesperson has their own incentive for why they want to make the sale. And so there's already some level of distrust or wall that goes up when dealing with the salesperson, right? Right. Some people, they have no barrier. Some people, they really need the help. So there's like nothing in the way of just listening to that salesperson. Other people just complete distrust. And so they're expecting that salesperson to only show the highlights and not talk about any of the trade-offs, which every product or service has trade-offs, has negatives. Nothing is perfect. Like they say, good, fast, and cheap, 2 out of 3, but not all 3, right? Like there's no perfect product. So salespeople who only talk about the perfect solution they have are lying by avoiding, you know, the full story. And so when you do that, when you share everything or you talk about the truth and you explain it, people will realize that you're different and trust you, which then leads to, you know, much different relationship.
Well stated.
All right. So let's end there. Otherwise, this will be 1.5 hour long episode instead of 3 episodes. For people who want to connect with you in the same way that I did, most people who know me know that I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, which I think is just fun. They can find you on there. The links will be in the show notes, but they can find you, Barry Erickson, on LinkedIn. Also, and I'll put the link in the show note, people can Google it, which is the Foster School of Business at University of Washington and the sales program there. But again, I'll have the link in there. Barry, thank you for being here on part one. Thank you for sharing your experience and your ideas and what you're doing with the students, especially on authenticity. And I can't wait for us to jump into the persuasion piece next.
My pleasure. And just to close out, I authentically loves selling. Most people, it might make them cringe, but I love cold calling, if you can believe it. So I appreciate being here.
I love it. And I'm excited to talk about the process and the sales side in the persuasion piece and what you do with that authenticity and excitement. And for everyone tuning in, thank you for being here and being a part of this journey. Again, my goal is to help shift the world of sales from something that's seen as dirty and gross, or people just assume is, you know, transactional and, you know, done by, you know, people who are just trying to sell and don't really care what happens, to make it something where people realize the whole world of sales and the value of salespeople when it's done correctly with the right intentions. And so by you being here, I appreciate that, because hopefully this is shifting you or reinforcing what you're doing so you can just do more of it, so we can help fill the world with authentic persuaders, which I appreciate. Until next time, we'll catch you on the next episode. And thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.